You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Good afternoon. It's Jay Holland in for Senator Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. Back in the saddle. Same bat time, same bat channel. Here we are, and another 3 hours of nonstop phone calls and content that is compelling, informative, and just downright plain good. If it's on this program, it's good. So if you'd like to call in, we'd like to hear from you as we have the fearless Boomer to answer your calls. Boomer, of course, a veteran now, but I knew him when he was just a little tyke. So you can give us a call at any time here on Right Side Radio. It's Boomer, I'm really kind of drawing a blank on the phone number here. Where is it?
We got it. It is 833-687-4448. So 833-68-RIGHT.
R-I-G-H-T. Thank you, Boomer.
Yes, sir.
And, also the text line is the same number. So if you want to text us and not go on the radio, that's cool. Just let us know what's on your mind, and we will let you expound on it. Whatever's on your mind. There are several interesting subjects out there that we need to cover. Of course, the breaking news earlier today was that the Georgia prosecutors are gearing up. Yep, you heard right. They want Trump. They want him. This is really getting to be overkill. It's really kind of scary, you know, because it seems that the Justice Department is kind of for hire here. So unnamed sources, of course, isn't that the way it always is? Unnamed sources have linked to CNN that Georgia prosecutors allegedly have gotten their leftist paws on so-called text and emails that implicate members of former President Donald Trump's legal team. So unnamed sources, as it were, is all that we get as far as where this is coming from. But evidently the purpose is to tie Trump's legal team members to the January 2021 voting system breach in Coffee County, Georgia, according to CNN. This story, dated August 14th, from Teresa Monroe Hamilton on a trusted source, as it were. So that is just the latest of efforts to torpedo Donald Trump. So this is the fifth, count them, five indictments. Sounds like overkill to me, but you know, the old adage, throw enough stuff on the wall, some of it will eventually stick, right? So it's really, Trump, I gotta say, has a pretty stellar record of shucking this kind of stuff. I mean, he went through two impeachments, and just sailed through all this stuff with the so-called dossier, which was just complete made-up stuff, and they tried to make it stick for 2 or 3 years. It was just, you know, Hillary Clinton right in the middle of it, no consequences for any of it, you know, but yet they drug us through the muck and the stupid, ridiculous stuff about Trump and Moscow and all this. I mean, it was really bad for the country, as Mitch McConnell would say. So it really hurt and made a lot of voters and other citizens just totally turned off to the political process. So the politicians are really hurting themselves with all this stuff, but they just can't seem to help it when it comes to Donald Trump. And really and truly, I would like to know what they see is so dangerous about Donald Trump. I know he doesn't play their game, and I know that he is his own guy. You know, he don't need their money. You know, and if you ask me, Donald Trump more than likely just didn't fire enough when he got in there the first time. So that is to say that for a guy who made his career over saying, "You're fired," you know, he when he got into the White House, he didn't do that often enough. It took him a year or so to fire Comey. So, you know, and then all those Obama hacks that were still there, that are probably still there. So it really, Donald Trump did it to himself in many ways. And I don't think it was because he was trying to be a nice guy. I just think he was trying to learn the territory. You know, here's a guy who spent his entire career in the business field. Then he walks in to the White House, the most politically polarized, energized, scrutinized place on the planet. So, yeah, he had a little learning curve. I would say it was a big learning curve. So, but, you know, Donald Trump, if you ask me, let a lot of this stuff happen. So if you want to give him four more years, you know, that's your business. But I think judging from his performance, with even all of these political hacks trying to drag him down, he still had the best economy ever. He still negotiated the best trade deals ever. He still, you know, bolstered up our military the best ever. He, you know, he had Putin and China straightened up in line. He jerked about over $1 trillion from NATO, from countries that weren't paying their dues. He said, "Look, you pay your dues or you're out." They didn't like it, but they did. So what's wrong with that? America has been paying the dang bill for 20, 30 years. Nobody stood up to him but Trump. So I don't see the problem politically. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't see the problem with Trump's performance. Politically, yeah, it was a big problem. So many people in the swamp, quote, quote, got their toenails clipped, got their fingernails pulled, got a lot of blowback from Trump because Trump didn't play their game. So that's why they're going after him. That's why they'll do anything, anything to keep that from happening again. Because if he gets back in there, this time he's going to know where the bones are buried, so to speak. So, yeah, that's why they're fighting so hard. That's why they're marshaling all of their resources from various and sundry places. And Trump keeps saying, look, this case in Georgia, if they really wanted to pursue this earnestly, they would have done it 2.5 years ago. But no, they wait until it's an election cycle. So, yeah, it's voter interference. Of course it is. It's an election that they can't afford to lose. They cannot. This is why they're dragging all this stuff out. This is why they're coming up with any little thing that they possibly can. Trump has been exonerated on most all of this garbage in the past. So I don't have any reason to believe that he will not be exonerated this time. Or let me say, these five times.
Well, you know, it's a good point that you just made. And we heard something, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, that Trump said, I'm just one more indictment away from winning this election.
That was in Montgomery.
Yeah.
Right here in Alabama. That's right. Yeah, I just need one more indictment.
Just one more.
He got it. He got it today. So, look, every time, seriously, I'm drop dead serious. Every time he's been indicted, his numbers have gone up.
Gone up. Well, they're trying so hard to figure out a way to get rid of Trump. But then again, they're putting Trump in front of every news outlet, and so he's getting all that free publicity, even though it may be negative. But sometimes they say that the negative publicity is still publicity.
Well,
right,
Boomer, it's real simple. People see through this. They do.
Yeah.
I think they really have gotten to the point where the Democrats have overplayed their hand so much that folks are getting real cynical about it. I don't think that Donald Trump has much to worry about, really, because I think he's right. One more indictment, you know, and he's got this thing. So, it's really kind of funny because the harder they try, the more powerful he becomes. So, and they're bringing it on themselves now. So, look, Trump's got very smart lawyers. We know that from impeachment one, impeachment two. We know that from the Mueller report. We know that from the fake, phony, made-up dossier. We know, his lawyers have been working overtime for a long time now. But let me tell you, they must be really good. So, I really am confident that everything they try is just going to blow up in their face. You know why? Because they're on the wrong side. They're not trying to build up this country. They're not trying to make this country better. They're not trying to do anything except one thing, and that's tear down one of the best presidents that's ever been. Now, you may not like Trump. A lot of people don't like him, but they support him. You know why? Because he did what he said he was going to do. You know, Trump is a little arrogant. Trump is kind of like a bull in a china shop. Trump is somebody you don't want to have mad at you, you know? And Trump is a fighter. Trump is somebody that if you go at him, he's going to come back at you and harder than you did. Trump is somebody that is formidable. They've never really been up against somebody like that. I mean, can you imagine George W. Bush doing this stuff? Can you imagine Bill Clinton? Now, Bill Clinton was a good old boy, and Clinton was the kind of guy you'd like to play a round of golf with, you know, and chug down a few suds. And, I remember seeing a clip of him hitting a drive, and he hit it, and of course it sliced or something. But he said, "Stay up there, mama." He was really funny. It was great. And I thought right then, I said, you know, Bill Clinton would be a good guy to play a round of golf with. But it's really a matter of looking at it seriously. Do you think that George H.W. Bush would pull some of this stuff that Trump has done? No way. Not even the great one, Ronald Reagan. Reagan had class. You know, Trump don't have class. Trump's going to come after you. So now Trump is classy in many ways, but politically, he don't really know enough politics to be classy. These people that are coming after him have made a career of politics. They know the ins and outs. They know the do's and don'ts. They know all of the stuff that you, quote, have to do, unquote. Trump don't do that. Trump don't play their game. Trump is trouble for those that profess to be career politicians. So it's really a matter of looking at it honestly and with a little tinge of political background, which I have. And that's where I think Trump really makes brownie points with, you know, the people of the country, because he don't do what the politicians expect him to do. That's why they're fighting him so hard. That's why they hate the idea that he might get four more years. So don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. It'll all turn out right in the end. You're listening to Jay Holland, guest hosting for Phil Williams. The senator will be back tomorrow. So keep it right here to Right Side Radio. What, June, something like that. So he called me up, and I was a little apprehensive at first because it's been a while since I've been on doing a live. You know, I do recordings all the time, but that's different. You know, it's being live and knowing that everything you mention on this microphone is going to be out in the world in the at the speed of light, you know, is pretty intimidating, you know. So, I mean, this is four stations. So it's WVNN, AM and FM in Huntsville. And then it is Crawford Broadcasting, WXJC 101.1 FM and WYDE 850 AM. That's a lot of coverage. That's, you know, WYDE is 50 kilowatts. 50,000 watts. 101.1 is 100,000. 92.5 FM is a Class C. I think that's 6,000. And 770 is 5,000. So that's a, those are four hefty signals there. Just to give you an idea, every morning when I was on the Big Wax here in Gadsden, it's 5,000 watts. But its towers are like on the Coosa River. So if you know anything about radio, half of a broadcast tower in AM is what you see in the air. The other half is below in the ground. Every 5 degrees around that tower, there's a copper wire in the ground that goes out from the tower as high as the tower is. So that's the secondary ground plane, as it's called. So, Dad, you know, of course, Tower 2 at the Big Wax, which is the one on the Coosa River, Tower 1 is the one closer to the station. Tower 3 is the one in the middle, which is weird, but that's the way they did it. So, anyway, long story short, my dad listened to me in Dalton, Georgia, every morning when I was on the Big Wax. That's roughly 90 air miles, so big signals. So 5,000 watts on 770 is huge, let me tell you, in Huntsville. So appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll have more, is including a little retort here from Jamie Raskin trying to defend Joe Biden for lying about his relationship, business relationship with his son. Interesting stuff here. That's what they're trying to cover up. Right Side Radio, this is Jay Holland. Right Side Radio, Jay Holland here sitting in for Senator Phil Williams, who will be back tomorrow. I'll be back. So, attaboy Phil, we appreciate you letting us sit in for you. It's always a pleasure to be on the radio. Spent a career doing it and sort of kind of retired from the live side. Still do a lot of recording, but anyway, if you'd like to talk with us about any number of things, 833-687-4448. That's 833-687-4448. That's a phone call, or you can use that number to text us a message. Whatever you want to say, whatever explicative we can't guarantee we'll play or we'll say, but maybe Boomer will. I don't know. But nevertheless, it's Right Side Radio, and we're here for you. So give us a call, and we'll put you on the radio. All right. You know, I mentioned before the break that Jamie Raskin, I call him Jamie Rascally. He's, you know, he's had cancer, and I kind of feel a little sorry for him. But He is a rabid, radical, lefty Democrat. You know, he's probably a pretty nice guy, probably like Bill Clinton, somebody you'd like to hang out with, you know, drink a beer with or something. But, you know, and talk a few political stories. But Raskin is a shill for the Democrats. I mean, big time shill. So this guy, and this is from Business and Politics, BPR. Jonathan Carl confronts Raskin on Biden lying about Hunter not getting money from China. So this is, let me tell you, here lately the Democrats are like kitties in a litter box. They are constantly scratching, constantly covering up the crap that all of these would-be, quote, political servants, unquote, have taken advantage of and have totally royally screwed up. They're like kitties in a litter box. And, you know, but they can't scratch enough to cover it all up. And it's beginning to leak out on them. We'll get more to that. But first, we got a phone call. So let's go to David in Huntsville on the 2024 election. David, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Jay, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. I'm actually going to call today. And I heard you talking about Trump and the 2024 election.
Yeah.
The one thing I can say on the indictments and his indictments is that they're all in mostly left-wing areas. Mm-hmm. So we won't have a normal type jury deal. But
yeah.
My big question with the 2024 election is, who is our best candidate for 2024? It's not 2016. It's not 2020. It's 2024.
Right.
And I personally feel that Biden is not going to be their nominee. They're going to come in with somebody. And I think Republicans are kind of really messing up if they're not prepared for another candidate to be the actual nominee of the Democrat Party. And I don't believe, based on the electorate that votes nowadays across this nation, they vote based on who they like and who offers them things. And it's the American Idol type election. So I feel like...
I never heard it put like that, American Idol election.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
The electorate has changed so much. Although we're a good size, right side people, you know, but you know, we're not typical of the election, you know, across the country. And I just feel like DeSantis is my favorite.
Yeah.
I for sure feel that Trump is much more of a negative in the general campaign.
Maybe so.
Obviously, the only thing that he's really got going for him is the fact that he's been a president before, and we like him and or his policies. But there are so many people across this nation that just want him to go away.
Right.
And I don't believe for a moment that he is our best hope in any way for 2024. He's sometimes his worst enemy.
Well, David, I think that's a good analysis. Certainly Trump has made a lot of enemies. He stepped on a lot of toes. And I said it. It's true. He's a bull in a china shop. He is a guy that you don't mess with. I mean, he's going to be coming back for you. He's not a polished politician at all. He acts like he doesn't really know much about that at all. He just says, "Look, if you're coming after me, I'm coming after you only harder than you will." And he's got the money to do it. So that's where all these other candidates. I mean, I know that Ron DeSantis has raised a lot of money, but you know he's also spent a lot of money and he's firing staff now. So DeSantis,
we have not had one debate.
That's true.
We are not anywhere. I call it the Trump Mafia. As much as I like Trump's policies and the good things that he did and everything, I call it the Trump Mafia, just trying to shut everybody down, just like the Democrats do with global warming, trying to push it down everybody's throats and just mess with them. He's trying to use his power, and he doesn't like to lose, and he's trying to use his power and all this kind of stuff to become the nominee. But I think we will be in worse shape come the general election if Donald Trump actually makes it gets the nomination. I don't believe he will, but at any rate, thank you for your time, Jake.
Hey, thank you, David, for calling in WVNN, AM and FM in Huntsville. Yeah, there's a lot of baggage out there for Trump. I mean, remember all the urban moms, the soccer moms, and all the, the moms, they never really helped him out in the 2020 election. And, because Trump used Twitter to be mean, they thought. Mean tweets. Remember all that? Mean tweets. That's a pretty shallow reason not to like a guy, but because he's standing up for himself and his policies and his administration, that's really pretty shallow. But, that's what we have out there for an electorate. It's like you said, it's a American Idol electorate. So, it's based on a lot of things other than real world politics. It's based on emotions and feelings and everything other than what it should be based on. So it's really a kind of an up for grabs kind of thing. But, the pollsters were wrong in 2020. They thought it was going to be a lot closer. Of course, Trump has been alleging fraud and a bum election based on COVID and some other problems with mail-in ballots and stuff. Some of that stuff is beginning to start surfacing and, leaking out now way after the fact, which kind of bolsters up Trump's whining about it, which is really what he's been doing. And that's turned off a lot of people. But, it's the same setup for 2020 in the Republican primary. You got a bunch of Republicans, 16 or 18 now, is it? Something like that. And Donald Trump, and he's leading by a lot. David notwithstanding, because David made some great points. But the problem here is the Republicans, at best, on a good day, are very wishy-washy. They're, I'll give this to the Democrats. They stay together. They fight together. They live together. They die together. They'll go down with the ship together. Not the Republicans. They're a bunch of, it's like herding cats. It's almost impossible. Republicans are independent thinkers. They're generally successful people. They have their own ideas about their own ways of doing things and their own, and many times their own support systems, not the Democrats. Everybody in the Democrat Party, just about, except for the elitists, they are dependent on the other Democrats, So it's not real hard to figure out that the Republicans are going to be fractured. And, just look at some of these votes. McConnell going along with all these idiotic spending bills. It would have been like three $1.7 trillion spending bills, which set off all this inflation. I'm no real rocket scientist when it comes to economics, but I do have a degree. And when you have inflation, you have too much money in the marketplace chasing too few goods. That's what Biden has done. He's put $1.7 trillion into the economy three separate times. One was for infrastructure. One was, I can't remember all of them, but it's caused inflation. It's caused a lot of pain and suffering and agony. It's caused gas to go up. It's over $4 a gallon most places now. Here in Alabama, it's pushing four. It's going to get worse. You know why? Because Biden has artificially been keeping the price down using our strategic petroleum reserve. The media ain't going to talk about it, but that's exactly what's been happening. So now we're running out of petroleum in the strategic petroleum reserve, and which is a military national security issue, but nobody is criticizing Biden for that. And guess what? Prices are going up. You know, that's another thing Trump did. He had us energy independent. Now, you can scoff and, you know, be like David, you know, and squirm and, I don't know, you know, all you want. But Trump had the energy cost down to like, what, 180 a gallon when he was, you know, last in office. So, you know, you can criticize Trump for not being a player in the politics game, all you want. But the truth is, the guy did what he said he was going to do. And how often, especially in politics, do you find that rare quality? I mean, you can count the number of times, probably on both hands, both feet, and somebody else's hands and feet, that Biden has lied to us. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, here's a guy convicted of plagiarism. He admitted it. Plagiarized some guy over in Britain, you know. And during the 1987 campaign for president, had to finally drop out. You know, imagine that. The media made him drop out because they were reporting the facts. Now they just make stuff up and let him get away with selling out our petroleum reserve to China and anybody who wants to buy and keeping the price artificially low. Nobody's reporting that, but that's what's happening because that's what keeps driving the price of gasoline up. Why is it that, you know, you go to the grocery store and it's 25, 30 bucks more than it was and you bought the same stuff? You know, because Biden passed three bills, $1.7 trillion each, flooded the economy with money, and everybody else, you know, too much money chasing too few goods. Classic inflation. Not making this stuff up. You know, you couldn't make it up if you tried, because it's just, it's crazy. But that's what Biden has done. Nobody's holding him accountable. Nobody's even talking about it. Oh, they report on it. Oh, the inflation is bad, you know. But, you know, Biden spent a year saying it was transitory. Remember all that? Spent a year. Oh, it's just transitory. Don't worry about it. Right. You know, this is the kind of talking between your teeth or lying between your teeth or whatever you want to call it that really turns people off to politics. It's sad, but this is what they do. It takes guys like me that are not afraid to point it out, you know, to really say what the problem is rather than, you know, just going along, just to get along. So it's not hard to figure out. The truth is, what's hard is doing what the media and the Democrats are trying to do right now. Scratch around in a kitty litter box and cover up your crap. That's all they're doing. And it's not working for them. This is Right Side Radio. I'm Jay Holland, sitting in for Phil Williams. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with your phone calls and more here on Right Side Radio. Side Radio. This is Jay Holland sitting in for Phil Williams. And golly, it's just a few minutes till the top of the hour. Hard to believe. Time flies when you're having fun. But we will take some phone calls. Let's go to the phone right fast for Gary in Decatur. Gary, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I was just just calling to comment on your on the previous caller about, you know, everybody's getting tired of Trump syndrome and
right.
You know, they just want somebody else. But, I mean, maybe, you know, that wasn't a good term to describe whining about election fraud. You know, if you didn't watch 2,000 Mules and you didn't know what happened in Pennsylvania and
right.
now what's going on in Michigan, there was definitely fraud going on, and that's against the law.
Right. Nobody's prosecuting it, though.
Well, and nobody will as long as there's a Democrat in charge. As you identified, Republicans they don't have the guts to do anything.
Right. That's true.
And that's what that was my very point. Who in this primary would stand up to the scrutiny that Trump has?
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's really worth thinking in those terms because, Gary, nobody really of any consequence in large enough numbers thinks like that, unfortunately, because, well, let me rethink that, because right now Trump's polling numbers are pretty doggone good. So maybe there are a lot of people thinking that way. So, but generally speaking, you know, you're better than the average bear out there.
I'm just saying that he's looking for a chance to, you know, to redeem himself, and his good name is gone, and, you know, there's no other way to do it except running for president. And I realize that, you know, a lot of folks have put their best eggs in DeSantis's basket, but
right.
who's to say what would happen with DeSantis if his house got raided one night and his wife's closet got gone through?
Good point. Hey, listen, let me run, see if I can get Richard from Tennessee in here. Richard, what's on your mind, buddy, real quickly? Richard? Richard must have went away. But that's true. That, you know, what Gary was talking about is exactly right. You know, how would DeSantis react if suddenly the feds descended on your house at, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, busted down your front door, and arrested you? So, I mean, they did treat Trump a little better than that, but some of Trump's other guys, they did not treat very well at all. I can't remember their names right now, but I can certainly remember the circumstances and the situations. The Democrats are playing for keeps, and you live by the sword and you die by the sword, as the old saying goes. So we shall see how this turns out in the end. So far, Trump has beat them at every turn. When we come back, I've got a lot of texts I need to get caught up on, and a couple of other things. A personal note I'd like to pass along now that we're halfway through the program, or a third of the way through the program. We'll talk a little bit more about some other interesting things as well. So stay with us right here. By the way, Colonel Phil will be back tomorrow on Right Side Radio. He's been gone for the last couple of days, a couple of programs, or is it three? I think maybe it's 3 days. So anyway, it's long enough. He'll be back tomorrow. So stay with us here on Right Side Radio till he does return. I'm Jay Holland filling in for Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. Hey, all you Right Side Ruffians.